protecting our children from evil influences. And we've touched on this a little bit this morning. Brother John and Brother Matt both hit on several of the points here. But here in verse 3 in Psalm 127, the Lord tells us, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." We all need to be reminded about this great blessing that we do have from the Lord, and that they are a heritage. They're something that we have inherited from the Lord. And the Lord uses this word often in the Old Testament to refer to things such as that promised land that he was going to give them, and that was to be used for in a certain way for him. And we need to realize that that's also true here of our children, that they are a heritage that we've received from the Lord, and we need to be good stewards of what of that blessing, and that we need to be raising them up in the way that the Lord has shown us through his word. So there are many, many responsibilities, and the particular responsibilities we want to focus on in this hour have to do with that protection that he wants us to give for our children. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, we're all told here to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that applies obviously to ourselves, but that's one of the key things that we also need to have in mind as we are seeking to raise our children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 33 here, the Lord gives us a very key principle that we need to fully believe and put into practice as we are raising our children. Here he says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You know, the context here is some false teaching that had crept into the Lord's church concerning the resurrection. Back in verse 12, he was asking them, "How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there were these false teachers that were bringing heresy into the Lord's church. And when we think about that term heresy, it really and literally means a choice. There were those that were bringing in choices that were not things that God had authorized and that he was giving as their doctrine. And yet these choices were being brought into the church. And there were those that were deceived by these choices and that were being led away and going after these choices. And some might ask, well, what's wrong with choices? Well, we see from the scriptures that not all choices are equal, right? And he talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 2, again, when he's talking about heresy. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says here, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." So here again, we see this term heresies, these choices, and these false teachers that were bringing these choices into the church. And what was the result? He says they're bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And not only themselves, but in verse 2, he says, "Many will follow their pernicious ways." And so there are many that are going to choose these ways. They're very appealing in different ways. You know, back in 1 Corinthians 15, when we read that verse, he started that verse out by saying, "Be not deceived." These things are presented in a way that is enticing for various reasons. And so we're going to see as we're raising our children that there are many, many choices to be made, and there are many things that are enticing for various reasons, and it's extremely important for us to realize that we need to be watching out about those choices, and we need to be protecting them and helping them to make the right choices in these things. And that requires us as parents to be skillful in using God's word. We read earlier, but we'll mention it again from Hebrews chapter 5. I believe Brother John mentioned this earlier, but here the scriptures are showing us concerning the use of God's word. In verse 13, he says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so we do, as parents, need to be paying very close attention to all of these things around us and around our children. And we need to be discerning the things that are not good in the Lord's eyes. And our responsibility then is to protect our children from those evil influences so that they will not be led away to destruction, and not to make those provisions for the flesh, for our flesh and for their flesh, to fulfill the desires that those different choices might try to entice them to make. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, I believe Brother John also read this morning, but we'll go look at it again because it's very, very important for us. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, here he tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We noted this morning that word train there is literally to narrow their way. And we need to think about the implications of that definition, and maybe think about how it's applied in some other cases. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 5, this word is used when Solomon and the people were dedicating the house of God there in verse 5. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. They narrowed the use of that house of God for his purpose, for the things that he authorized it to be used for. And when we think about our children as being a heritage from the Lord, and that the Lord has a very specific purpose for them and for us, we need to make sure that we are narrowing their way to be that way that the Lord has shown us through his word. And of course, we all remember Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, where he tells us all that narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. We need to make sure we are narrowing their way, that we're turning them away from all of these other choices that are going to be presented throughout their lifetimes, and that we are showing them the one way that is only through Jesus Christ, as we know from John chapter 14 and verse 6. And we need to be narrowing them down to that one way and turning them away from these other options that the world is providing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. We see here how the Apostle Paul is describing his work with the church, but in doing so, he's going back to how the fathers and the parents are working with their children. Here he says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory." So here we see that Paul was exhorting, he was comforting, he was charging these brethren, and he said, just as a father does with his children. And so that needs to be the picture that we're fulfilling as we are raising our children, that we're calling them near and we're charging them with certain things that the Lord has shown us that we must do, and turning them away from these other things. And he also, Paul also points out the example that he was using. We've touched on this also in our first two lessons, where it's very important for us as parents to be presenting the right examples, and Lord willing, we'll talk about that some more here. But here, Paul is pointing that out as he's speaking about his work with the church. He's the example of being holy and just and unblameable. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We all should know this, but we're going to read it. Here he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." You know, it is God's word and his word only that will make our children wise unto salvation. And so we need to be teaching them those scriptures from an early age. We need to be having those daily studies, and we've looked at some passages that give that example of how we need to be working with them on an ongoing daily basis, studying with them, and we need to consider, particularly as new parents, but all of us, do we need to make some adjustments to our old habits, particularly when we have our first child? Maybe we've we've been set in some ways and habits and doing things certain ways. And maybe it's time to make some adjustments and making sure that we're going to set aside those times each day to come together with our kids and start studying with them and working with them. You know, all of these things take time and effort that maybe we had not been previously allocating in the right way. And so we need to consider what changes we ourselves need to make to make sure that our kids are being taught the things that they need to understand. Remember, we read earlier there in 1 Corinthians 15 when he was talking about that evil communication. The very next verse there, he told them, he says, "Awake to righteousness, for some have not the knowledge of God." So the problem there in the church at Corinth was that these false teachers were coming in and presenting this heresy, these choices that were not correct, and yet there were those that were deceived. And why was that? Because they did not have that knowledge of God, and they were not recognizing the things that were being taught as being completely contrary to the teaching of God. And we need to be well exercised in using the scriptures and teaching our children the scriptures and recognizing the things that are not right according to His will. In Genesis chapter 18, we have a great example that we need to consider in how he raised his family and protected his family, that of Abraham. In verse 19, we see what the Lord's testimony is about Abraham here. He says, "For I know him," I know Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Now, wouldn't this be great for the Lord to have this same testimony of us, that where he could say, "I know that they will command their children and their household after them, and that they will keep the way of the Lord." And here again is one of those words we want to stop and pay close attention to, where he says that they will keep the way of the Lord. That word is literally to hedge about or to guard. And we need to understand that that way of the Lord, that one way that leads to eternal life, is a very narrow way, that there are many, many influences out there in the world that are trying to pull us away, and that the devil is out there using many different methods to try to lead us off of that way, and that it is a way that needs to be guarded. It's under constant attack by many, many different means, and we need to be aware of those different means, and we'll talk about some of those as we go through this lesson, Lord willing. But, you know, whether it's our friends or our families, the education that we're exposed to, many, many different forms of media, the games that we watch and we play, there's just so many different forms of influence that the devil can use to draw us away from that way. And so we need to understand our role as parents and our responsibility as parents to guard our families, to guard that way that the Lord wants all of us to be following, and that he wants us to be training up our children in, narrowing our children into that one way. You know, and Brother Matthew was mentioning some of the different philosophies and things that the world has. And sometimes you hear parents or ones in the world, maybe we hear our coworkers say things where, you know, "I want my children to be well-rounded, and I want them to be exposed to all these different experiences of life." And, you know, we need to understand that these types of philosophies are foolishness, and that they are of the world, and that they're completely contrary to what God is commanding us to do as parents in the scripture. And so we need to be very careful to not be influenced ourselves into going after these types of philosophies, and to not lessen and do not do what the Lord is telling us what to do here. He wants us to put a hedge around our families. He wants us to be guarding his way, as Abraham did here. And so it's very important for us as parents to consider our own faith and our own example. We've talked about this a little bit, and we're going to look at it just a little bit more here. But when it comes to that teaching in 1 Corinthians 15, where he tells us evil communications corrupt good manners, how convinced are we of that as parents? You know, sometimes I think we've all at different points had to grapple with this, and we need to understand, It's not a question of if here. It's a question of how much are we, or how much are our children going to be corrupted by these evil influences that are all around us. Sometimes people want to try to rationalize and convince themselves that this thing or that thing is okay to watch or to hear or to do. But we need to go back to what God's word teaches. And it's a very simple statement here that evil communication is corrupt. That is God's teaching here, and we need to accept that teaching, that whether it's a little bit or whether it's a lot, there will be corruption that occurs if we are exposed to these different forms of evil communication. And that if we try to justify this in our minds or explain it away, that we're really contradicting what the scriptures very, very plainly teach us. And that as parents, and this goes back to some of what Brother Matthew was pointing out last hour, is that we ourselves have to be very careful about the example that we present, and Brother John pointed this out as well, that we have to consider our own influences on our children. And we ourselves, as we apply that to this particular lesson of the evil influences, we ourselves need to be making sure that we are putting away these evil influences, this foolishness, these different vanities that we have all been involved with. We all have our own souls that we're working with and trying to purify. And so we've got to put away these things, but at the same time, we have to realize it's super important as we are raising our children to make that clear. And so we need to be considering, are there changes that we need to be making to our own habits if we haven't put away some of these things? Do I need to put away some of this foolishness? As Brother Matthew mentioned, sometimes we see folks, even with really foolish things like, video games and these other things, we see adults that just spend inordinate amounts of time continuing their childhood, in these vanities, and not just vanities, but things that are harmful, as we're going to talk about in a few minutes. And so as parents, particularly, when we're having our first children, we need to realize this is a time for change here. I've got a very big responsibility in addition to my own soul that has just been put upon me, where as a parent, I'm now responsible for these other souls, and will have to give answer for their souls in how that I've responded to the Lord's commands to train them up and to teach them according to His ways. And so it's very important for us to be putting these things away ourselves. And, in a similar way, sometimes we make certain rules to try to protect our children to do certain things, but then on the side, we make exceptions for ourselves. And we need to be very careful not to do that. Beyond just being hypocritical and deceptive, as if that's not enough reason, we need to realize that it can have a very, very detrimental effect on the children. Romans chapter 2, we touched some of these verses earlier in our earlier lessons. I'm going to skip a couple of verses, but one that we should really consider here is what he said about the Gentiles in Romans chapter 2 and verse 24. Here, the Apostle Paul was noting to these Jews, he said, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." And why was God's name being blasphemed by these Gentiles? It was because of that hypocrisy of the Jews, where they were teaching certain things, and then they themselves were doing those very things that they were teaching against. And so, while it's certainly bad to be a hypocrite, we also need to realize the impact that being a hypocrite can have on our own families. When it can be very similar to this here with the Gentiles, where if they see us doing the very things that we're telling them not to do, that it not only undermines what we've told them to do, but it causes this reaction where they say, well, if that's what Christianity is, then I don't want to have any part of that. And so it's extremely important for us to be presenting the right examples. we talked earlier in some earlier lessons about the fact that the elders, they need to be examples to the flocks, to the flock. And that particular verse there in 1 Peter 5 and verse 3, where he says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. There, once again, we see that term heritage being used, just as we started out this lesson talking about the children being a heritage from the Lord. Well, here the context is the flock, and that there's a certain thing that the Lord has put into the elders' hands and a certain responsibility they have. And here, it just as with their families, the Lord is expecting the elders to be examples to the flock. And so our examples are extremely important for our children. And we need to be teaching them, of course, how to recognize these things on their own. And this is a key thing that we need to understand, and that we need to be working with our children. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and remind ourselves of what Solomon, through inspiration, how he summed these things up in verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. And as we consider what it means to fear God and to keep his commandments, you know, we can look at many passages, but the one that is particularly relevant to the lesson here is in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, and what it tells us about the fear of the Lord. You know, just like God's love, there are many aspects to God's love. Well, that's also true of the fear of the Lord. And here in Proverbs 8 and verse 13, he gives one particular aspect that we need to be very mindful of. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And so we need to understand that if we truly do fear God as we are taught to do, part of that involves the fact that we must hate evil. God's wisdom here hates evil. It hates pride. It hates arrogancy. It hates the evil ways. It hates the froward mouth. And we're going to see some more things here shortly, Lord willing, that the Lord says he hates. And we need to understand that if we have this fear of the Lord in the way that the Lord wants us to have it, that that's going to involve us hating evil. Psalm 97 in verse 10, we have a commandment to do so. Here he says, you that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. So we're given a command here that we need to hate evil. He's not telling us to simply ignore it, but he's telling us literally that we need to hate that evil. And we need to think about, well, what does that mean? And just like we're given commandments to do various other things that we need to work on, we also need to be actively working on learning to hate these things that the Lord hates. Sometimes we talk about, you know, what we call teachable moments with our children, those particular points in time where we just really need to stop and point out certain things to our children to help them learn about something. And we need to recognize that there are those kinds of teachable moments where we need to stop and point out, well, this is something that you need to hate. This is something that the Lord hates, and it's something that we should hate as followers of Christ. And so maybe we don't normally think of it that way, but it's something that we need to think of that way and to actively be working in growing in ourselves and working with our children to grow in as well. In Proverbs chapter 6, we see the Lord providing in just a few short verses here a list of many things that he says are things that he hates. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 16, he says, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. These things are completely disgusting. That's literally the word here that he uses about these things. And he says in verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Now think about our nation and our world today. They're just literally filled with these things that are disgusting to the Lord, these words that we hear so often, these actions and these imaginations that we see coming out. And we need to have the same view about these things in the world that the Lord has about these things. That's what we just read a moment ago, that we are commanded to hate evil. And so when we see these evil things, we need to hate those evil things and not just be complacent about them. And we need to recognize the pressure that's coming in many, many different forms, both on us and on our children, to accept these different forms of evil that are so prevalent in the world. In Proverbs 13 and verse 5, notice what he says here. He says, "A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame." So we see the connection here and the application of what we're commanded to do. And the Lord here says, "A righteous man hates lying." Well, that's because a righteous man understands the scriptures and understands the Lord says we are to hate evil if we fear him. We might also remind ourselves of the example of Lot and how he felt about the things that he was seeing there in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Here it notes about the Lord that he delivered just Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. We need to ask ourselves, am I vexed because of the evil that is so prevalent around us? You know, we hopefully answer that in the positive, that it does bother us. It should bother us. And we should be training our children that, hey, this should bother you also, and we need to stay away from it and run from it, not just accept that this is the way that things are. And we don't need to be accepting, you know, these lies that we constantly hear in the world. I think Brother John was, you know, making that point about the abortion that's so often made, and it's put in terms of, well, the women have the right to do what they want to do with their own bodies. And of course, we understand that our bodies are not our own. We belong to the Lord, and we don't have that right. But yet we see that that's what the world is trying to push and trying to cause people to believe. And, you know, we're taught to believe that we have these rights and that it's okay for these ones in the world to practice this immorality because that's just the way that they were born and so on. We hear all of these different types of excuses. And we need to understand, you know, these are things that are being taught in our schools. These are things that are being commonly talked about in society, and that many, many people, unfortunately, have come to accept as the norm. And we need to, again, be firmly rooted in God's word and understanding, well, that this isn't what God's word teaches, and this is we need to stay away from these types of things. Let's turn to Psalm 11 now and see concerning what the Lord says concerning violence and the things that he says there. Psalm 11 and verse 4, it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright." What does it say here that the Lord thinks about those individuals who love violence? Well, it says right there in verse 5 that his soul hates those ones who love violence. And so we need to consider, well, what is the Lord thinking of us when we maybe are all wrapped up in a movie or a book or a video game that is filled with things that the Lord hates? Is that we need to consider, what does the Lord think about me as I am enwrapped in these things and listening to these things? What is he thinking about me? Am I someone that he hates because I'm doing these things? And that's where that fear of the Lord needs to come in with us and with our children. We need to be teaching them about that fear of the Lord, that we need to understand, what does the Lord think about me when I'm involved in this particular activity that he hates? Should we imagine these things in our thoughts if it's something the Lord hates? And again, we often hear the defense of that in the world where people say, well, oh, that's just their imaginations. It's not real. But we need to consider what the Lord did back in Genesis chapter 6 when he saw the imaginations of man's hearts, and that they were filled with violence, and that those imaginations were focused on evil continually. What did the Lord do about that? And of course, we remember how he brought the flood and destroyed them, but it went back to what was in their imaginations. And so our imaginations are very, very real. They may not be physical, but they are real. And we need to be guarding our children's imaginations. We need to be protecting them to not be seeing these things and allowing these different pictures and these different words that give these thoughts and introduce these thoughts into their imaginations. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 16 here, we see something else that the Lord hates that is a very common problem that we will have to deal with as parents. Here it says, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. So here's another thing that we need to be hating and teaching our children to hate, which is covetousness. We all know how constantly bombarded we are with different ads and different ways that the world uses to entice us to go and covet these different physical things. And that's something that we need to be on guard for, and that we need to be guarding our children and pointing these things out, that this is something that is intended to draw them in to be covetousness. And it's another one of those things that we need to be teaching them to hate. Psalm 26, we ask the question, what about other forms of influence here? And we can see some particular things that David did that as he guarded himself and as he considered the different types of influences around him. Psalm 26, beginning in verse 4, here he says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. And dissemblers are those that are hiding what they're doing, because what they're doing is wicked. And so David says, I have not sat with vain persons, and I will not go in with these dissemblers. In verse 5, he says, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Here David says, I will not sit with the wicked. He knew that influence that would come by being there together with these vain people, with these wicked people, that would cause him to go astray. And so he was making the conscious effort here to not go and be joined together with these different ones. I will not sit with the wicked. But we need to make the similar application to ourselves today and ask ourselves, well, is that just physically sitting in the same room, or does that also include, sitting in front of a TV or sitting in front of a movie or some other form of media and watching these evildoers and listening to these evildoers, listening to music that encourages murder and fornication and defying authority and all of these different things that the Lord would have us to turn away from? What about the friends that we allow our children to associate with? Are we considering the influence that they can have in the same way that David is considering the ones that he was around? And are we making sure that we're not allowing them to go and sit with vain persons and going in with dissemblers? Are we helping our children to understand that they should not be the same as these different ones who are in the world? Are we helping them to understand that they should be viewing these ones as ones that they should help to convert, but not simply just as a friend and as someone who is to be joined together with? Are we using our senses here? We've talked about this and touched on this several times, how we need to have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. And we need to really be looking around and considering the impact of all of these different forms of influence that we have around us and that can affect our children. And we need to consider what that could do and whether we need to remove that influence or not. In Psalm 10, or I'm sorry, Psalm 101, we see some more concerning David and what he said about these influences. Psalm 101, we'll begin in verse 3. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. In verse 7, he says, he that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. So David here was considering the example of all of these different ones that he was around. Verse 3, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And he goes on in verse 4 that he would not know a wicked person. And he makes the particular point that he is not going to remain around ones who are doing such things as we just saw here. And so, again, we need to consider the things that we are willing to put before our own eyes and before our children's eyes. And we need to consider the numerous forms of media that we have in our world today. We, 50 years ago, it was, TV, and that was sort of the big new thing that became a very new form of influence. And more recently, we have the internet, which has just untold number of ways that we can corrupt our children by having that. And we need to be aware of the potential there to destroy ourselves and to destroy our children in these things. And we need to remind ourselves of what the right response is to the evil that can come through these things. In Isaiah chapter 33, in verse 15 here, as he's describing the ones that are going to dwell on high with God. And he starts out by saying, it's he that walks uprightly and speaks uprightly. He that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. We need to be having this response when we consider these influences, and we need to be ready to shut our eyes from seeing evil, and to shut our children's eyes from seeing evil or hearing evil. These are the ones that are going to dwell on high with the Lord. And if we're not careful to shut their eyes from seeing this evil, we're going to lose them, and we're going to lose ourselves as well. And so we need to be very, very aware of these things. And we need to be using our senses to, there are some things that are very obvious forms of evil. It's pretty simple to understand that, murder is wrong, and sexual immorality, those are things that are wrong. But we also need to consider some of the so-called wholesome forms of entertainment that, many of us have grown up with. Whole generations have grown up, watching certain things such as the Andy Griffith Show, or the Waltons, or watching various Disney movies. And the world in the past has generally viewed these things as very, very wholesome. And we need to understand, if we're careful and we're paying attention to the things that are being said and done, even in these supposedly wholesome types of entertainment, that they're completely contrary to what the Lord teaches. They're very full of different forms of humanistic teaching. They're full of lies. They're full of what we would call situation ethics, where they try to make situations where, telling a little lie or doing this or that is okay in that situation because it's helping someone. There's many, many situations, if you're careful to watch, where it's undermining the authority of the parents or other types of authorities. And, we see shows, for example, I'll make another specific example. If anybody's ever watched The Waltons, you might realize that the dad in the family is one who doesn't attend church, but yet the show is very careful to depict him as a, quote, good man. And what is that teaching when that's being presented? Well, it's really laying the foundation for something that we hear very commonly today, particularly from those that are promoting humanism. One of their little pat phrases is that you can be good without God. And, you know, many of these shows in very subtle ways are presenting things in such a way as that it's convincing people that you can be considered good, even though you may not be following the Lord and doing what the Lord has created you for. And we need to be discerning those things, paying close attention and realizing what these things are really teaching. It may not even be in words. It may just be in the actions and what's being done in certain cases. And of course, as time has gone on now, many of these forms of so-called entertainment have become much more open about what their intentions are. It was, I think, much more subtle 50 years ago than it is today. And today, there's no, in many cases, there's no doubt about what's being promoted by many of these things. You know, I thought it was very shocking. A couple of years ago, there was a news article that popped up, and it was pointing out what someone had posted in a Twitter, one of their Twitter accounts, where they were, it was a person that was involved with Planned Parenthood, and they made the statement, and they said, well, we need to have one of the Disney princesses to have an abortion. And of course, that was a rather shocking statement and rather sort of absurd statement, but really they understood what is the method by which we can persuade the world to accept these things that are evil. And one of the common methods that is used to do that is these different stories that are presented to us and to our children. And one of the techniques that's commonly used is that these stories will try to endear us and our children to these main characters so that we can identify with them and really like these characters. And then what's the next step? Well, the very next step is that these characters then go off and they do these things that are completely evil. But what's happened in the meantime? Well, we've allowed our children to become very attached to these characters and interested in these characters, and then all of a sudden those characters go off and do complete evil. What have we just done with our children by allowing them to hear and see these things? Well, you know, we've not protected them. We've not guarded them from this evil that is going to corrupt them. You know, it not only happens in these stories and shows and things like that, but we also even need to consider the effect of watching things like our news. A lot of times, maybe we can justify in our minds that it's okay to go listen to this because it's the quote news. But you know, our news is full of a lot of images and a lot of words that are things that really we ought not to be allowing into our imaginations. And we also need to realize that the news is a platform that many people, it's become very apparent in the last few years that many people understand the power of the news and how they can influence people to think certain ways. And that includes us as well, obviously. And we need to realize that whether that any form of news, that we need to realize there can be influence that can be harming us and that it can be harming our children as well. We need to be very careful about the things that we allow ourselves or allow our children to listen to on the news. There's more seemingly harmless things sometimes, such as cartoons and comic books, and sometimes, you know, if we've had a discussion with a coworker where they kind of look at us like, well, how could that possibly be harmful in any way? And we need to consider, well, what are the things that are being said and done in these cartoons or these comic books just because they're painted as these, you know, humorous looking characters or things like that? That doesn't mean that they don't still have the very same types of humanistic teaching and lying and other forms of immorality that we see in the other forms of so-called entertainment. And one thing in particular that maybe we should also consider, and it's another example where we really need to discern things, and that in that involves these stories that are so common today that involve the so-called superheroes, right? And we see kind of the main idea with these superheroes is that we're giving them attributes here that we should understand are only belong to God. And we need to think about what is the ramification potentially here by exposing our children to these things that are showing these characters that are routinely doing these miraculous works. There's ones where they talk about resurrections from the dead and things like that. And so we're letting our children watch all of these things, and then we have them come to Bible class, and what do they hear about there? Well, they hear about miracles, and they hear about the resurrection. And what do they think? Well, you know, I've heard from multiple Bible class teachers in multiple different congregations that, you know, they've had children speak up in Bible class and say, well, when they're hearing about the miracles and the things that Jesus and others did, they said, well, Superman can do that. And, you know, what are we doing when we're letting our children take these things in? It's presenting at a bare minimum, it's presenting a lot of confusion to them that has to then be undone by us in teaching the scriptures. But really, we also need to consider what we're doing in terms of the so-called powers that we're having them imagine these characters to have. You know, the Lord in the Old Testament in Exodus, when he brought those things against Egypt, in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 14, when he talked about these plagues that he was going to bring, he says, I will at this time send all of my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people. And what was the purpose he had there in doing that? He says, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. The purpose of those miraculous signs and wonders that the Lord did was to let those people understand that there was none like God in all the earth. And yet, what are we doing when we create these imaginary stories? And again, we need to understand imagination is very, very real. And the Lord is searching our hearts and seeing what is in our imaginations. And we need to ask ourselves, is it wise for us to put these types of things into our children's imaginations, having them imagine characters and things that have powers that only belong to God, even though it's not real, it's something they're imagining. We have to ask ourselves, well, is that wise for us to be doing that? And again, we have accounts where, you know, kids are coming into our Bible classes that are very confused by some of these things that they've seen in some of these stories. And we have to also ask, well, what does the Lord think about this when we are imagining these things that belong to him, that we're imagining that these characters, and a lot of times what the very next step is that we imagine ourselves as having these kinds of special powers. And we should be asking ourselves, what are we teaching our children when we're teaching them to imagine these things? Is that wise for us to be doing? And do we need to be protecting them against these types of things? In Proverbs chapter 22, he gives us, it tells us something here that we need to be applying every day. He says here in verse 3, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, the Lord is not pointing out to us here that we need to be prophets when he says a prudent man foresees the evil. What he is teaching us here is that we need to be prudent. We need to be considering. And we need to be cunning as we consider all of these things that are going on. That's literally the word there for prudent. We need to be cunning. And again, this ties back in with what we've been bringing up multiple times, is that we need to be having our senses exercised to discern good and evil. And we need to become skillful at that, skillful at applying God's word to all of these different situations, even these very subtle situations that happen, you know, from minute to minute in our daily lives. And we need to be prudent, and we need to be foreseeing what is the impact of hearing this and doing this, hearing this thing or taking this particular action, we need to be applying that in everything that we do. Whether it's some examples that we consider, an obvious example is, where are we going to live? And that not only includes the city, there's certain cities in the U.S. that should be obvious that we would never want to live in. Many, you could think of Las Vegas, for example. We probably wouldn't even want to visit places like that, much less live in those places because of the kinds of things that go on there and the kind of influences that we would be constantly exposed to. We would be putting ourselves in a situation just like Lot was in, where he was in Sodom and Gomorrah and being vexed daily because of the unrighteousness that's there. But even beyond just the city, what about within the cities and the different neighborhoods? There are different factors that we should consider in different neighborhoods. And if we've got small children, is it necessarily wise for us to go into a neighborhood that we know is just chock full of small children that are going to be growing up with our children? We need to at least be considering the kind of influence that they could be having and the things that we would have to do to protect them from those kinds of influences. What about the church if we're looking to move in a particular place? What about the church in that area? Is it a place where the church is strong or where the church is weak? And what would be the impact of us moving into such a place? We've already talked a lot about the things that we would consider our kids listening to or reading or watching. And we need to be prudent in those things and considering, is there evil here? And if there is, we need to be doing what we see there in Proverbs 22 and verse 3. We need to be hiding ourselves. We need to be getting out of that situation that is going to present that evil. We need to be considering the education that our children have. Many of us have chosen to homeschool, but guess what? Even within a homeschool, you have to be very, very careful about looking at the things that are being taught, being prudent about what are these subjects and what are these things that are being said here. There's a lot of teaching that will undermine our children if we're not careful to identify those things and remove those things from their hearing and their study. What about these programs as our children get into high school and college level? There's often these honors and accelerated programs. What do we need to consider in things like that? Well, we need to understand that many of those programs, there's a lot of humanistic philosophy that's being promoted there. The education system knows that these students are going to generally be growing up to be leaders in society, and they're really trying to instill some of these humanistic teachings in those future leaders. And we need to ask ourselves, well, is that really the thing that I want my children exposed to here? What about the kinds of careers that we're steering our children towards? How we should be asking ourselves lots of questions about that. How is this particular career going to affect their time and ability to serve the Lord and to raise their own families? Is this career going to be putting them in positions where they're going to be tempted to compromise on the principles that we know that we as Christians need to be holding on to? In all of these things, we need to be asking those questions. We need to be prudent. And when we see that there's a situation that involves something that the Lord has not taught, we need to have the response that he shows us in Proverbs 4 in verse 14. Proverbs 4 and verse 14, he says here, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." That needs to be our attitude about these influences that we identify as being the wrong influences that will lead our children away from that one way that leads to eternal life. And when we see these other choices being presented, we need to have this reaction where we avoid it. We turn away from it. And in many cases, that means physically taking some actions in doing certain things to get out of those situations. We'll conclude here in Ephesians chapter 6, and we won't read through all of this, but Ephesians chapter 6, we need to be, we all, I think, have studied many times that armor that he talks about that we need to Be strong in the Lord. And we need to consider what he says in verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles there is the word that we get our word method from today. And we need to realize that the devil does have many, many methods that he is trying to use against us. And we've talked about a number of these methods here this last hour. We need to have that armor as parents, that armor that we can stand against those methods that the devil uses. And verse 12, he tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to understand there are many, many forms of influences that are very intentional and very much aimed at causing us to lose our children, and we need to be guarding them. Verse 18 in particular, where he says they're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We do need to be praying. We need the Lord to give us that wisdom that we need to train up our children in the way that they should go. We need to be reminded of those such as Abraham that have gone before us, that we read earlier, that the Lord knew him, that he would command his children and his household, and that they would keep, that they would guard that way of the Lord. And may we have that armor, and may we keep praying so that we also will do the same.